Shir starts Be'ez Hashem at the bottom of Daf Ayin Amid Beis. Quickly reiterating what we learned at the end of yesterday's Shir. Now in Mishnah we learned several things, amongst them that the heter to eat the New Year's Tefuah comes with the Omer, the heter to cut the New Year's Tefuah comes with Pesach. We were sort of unclear as to what Omer actually is, and for that matter what Pesach is. According to the way Rashi learned yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara's kasha was, what does Omer mean? We had a machlokes. One Mandi Yomer says it means in the morning of the 16th, the day that we are marked of the Omer. The other Mandi Yomer says the actual akrav of the Omer. Until then, you cannot eat the Nutua. The way Tosis learned the Gemara asked, what does Pesach mean? What does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says that there is an Isur Ksira until Pesach? One Mandi Yomer says, Mitzvah Pesach. You can start cutting personal Tua Mitzvah Pesach. The other Mandi Yomer says you cannot cut the Tua until the next day during the time of akrav of Omer. And the male of the Gemara had a kasha. If indeed the time to start eating the Nutfuah and to cut the Nutfuah is the same, why does the Mishnah make two separate statements out of it? That the Heter Achila is until the Omer and the Heter Akrav is until Pesach. It's all one thing, whatever it is. The male of the Gemara changes and applies the Mechoikis differently. Eli Yitma, once again we pick up the Gemara, five lines from the bottom, the Zayin Imit Beis, Eli Yitma a Seifa Yitma. If we do have a Mechoikis over here, it should be applied to the Seifa. And the Seifa of the Mishnah we learned. In the Shrishu, if the Yomer takes through it, Kaidim L'Yomer, before the Yomer, the Yomer Matiran, the Yomer is Matirit. In fact, the Gemara, Mai Kaidim L'Yomer. What does that mean that it has to take root before the Yomer? What part of the Yomer? Rabbi Yoina Amar, as the Girs and the Shita is Rabbi Yossi Bazavda Amar, Kaidim Havasu Yomer. It has to take root before we are Makriv the Yomer. Only then did it make it in time that this year's Yomer should be Matirit. And Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda Aymer, as the Girsa Meshita is Rabbi Yain Aymer over here, Kaidim Ksiras Aymer, that it has to take root before the Akrav, it has to take root before the Aymer is cut. Zakti Maravaita, Amaleda Be'Elazar, we go now to the top of Daf Ayin Aleph Amit Aleph. Amaleda Be'Elazar, let Rabbi Yoshia de Dareta, that Rabbi Yoshia that lived in his generation. This is excluding that Rabbi Yoshia Hagadol, who was a Tana and lived much before. In any event, he said, please do not sit down on your legs. It's an expression, please, you cannot sit down, and in the fascist leili high milsa, that's the Girs and the Shita, until you explain this to me. How do I know that the Oymer is matter any tfuah that had already taken root in the ground? What he really meant to ask is, the Allah and the Mishnah, that the Oymer is matter anything that takes root, seems strange. Let's picture the scenario. I have here miles and miles of a bare field, and there are seeds under the ground that I planted already, and they took root. Because of that, I come back in 3 months, I have a field full of tefuah, which grew maybe Shavuos, maybe even later, maybe at the end of the summer, and I say, this is considered last year's tefuah, the Omer, last Pesach was Matirit, it's not new tefuah. Why? Because it took root before the Omer. So it seems like a very big chiddush. Where do you have a makar for this? So the Yoshi responded, Minolon, how do I know this? The Chassid, the Pasuk says, Aviv. The Pasuk gives us instructions of what to be makir the actual carbon with. Take Siyoyim, that are Aviv, Kalui B'esh. Aviv means that the Tefuah used for the actual Omer has to be 100% ready. Michlal, so you can bring a raya from this, the Yikad, the Lavav. There must be Tefuah, which is considered Tefuah, but it's not Aviv. Well, before the final product. The idea is Pashit. The type is referring to all of the new tefuah. From all of the new tefuah, make sure the ones you use for the actual carbon should be ripe. So it's mashma that even the tefuah that is not ripe yet is considered new. And therefore we see Ashrash is enough. Frek the Gemara, you don't see Ashrash is enough. You see it doesn't have to be ready. But there is a long way between not being ready and just taking root. Dilma de Lavav, maybe in Echanami there are tefuah which is considered new tefuah although it's not ready yet, but Eliyalam de Ayal Shlish, but it's a third way up. And if it did not grow a third, if it merely took root, perhaps it should not be considered last year's tefuah, it should be considered new tefuah and it should have to wait for the next time. Elam Shmuel from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Mihach el Chermesh Bakama, from the time you start putting the sickle, the instrument, to cut the tefuah. And this refers to cutting the tefuah for the Omer. So the Pasuk is saying, to mamish use it for the carbon that has to have come up high enough to be able to cut it. But that's just the qualification necessary to use it for the carbon. Lav machlal de yikad lav bar chermesh. So that must mean that if not for this Pasuk, I would have taken other tfuah that did not come up high enough to be able to cut. Other tfuah that is considered tfuah of the previous year. So you see, even though it didn't come up a third, it's considered tfuah of the previous year. In fact, the Gemara about this is no raya that taking root is enough. Dilma de lav bar chermish, maybe en chanami. We see from here that if the oimer has to be bar chermish, the tfuah that it's matter does not have to be high enough for the instrument to cut it. But li oilam shachs, it has to be at least high enough or at least developed enough for the animals to be able to eat from it. Pasture land, it's land that the sheep graze on. Doesn't come up a third, you can't cut it yet, but at least it's developed to a certain extent. Perhaps prior to that stage, it should be considered too premature for the yomer to be matter it. And for the Gemara Amar at Yitzchak Kam, the pasuk says use for the yomer the standing tour. So only the standing tfuah could be used for the oimer. That means, if not for this pasuk, I would have taken tfuah that is not standing yet and used it for the oimer, because those tfuahs are also considered the previous year's tfuah. Michlal de lav bar kam, even if it's not standing yet, maybe you can't use it for the oimer, but it's considered tfuah, the oimer is matter it. And memela, this proves it doesn't have to be fully ripened, it doesn't have to come up a third, it doesn't even have to be shachas. Even if it took root, it's enough, it's considered tfuah of the previous year. Frek de Gemara, all it proves is that it doesn't have to stand. Now, Dilma de lav bar kam, and maybe indeed it doesn't come up at all, it's not standing yet. But li'olam agam, that doesn't mean that hashrash is enough. Agam means it's like a very low grass, enough just to be able to bend it over to the ground. Now, this grass is so small, so tiny, you can't even consider it standing. The animals can't even bend down and eat it. But lemaisa, you see it on the face of the earth. Mashenkin, if it just took root underneath the earth, who is to say that that is considered developed enough that the yomer should be matterit? Elam and Abu will learn that hashrasha is enough from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'chagakatzir bikurei masecha asher tizra basada." This pasuk refers to the shtei lechem. The shtei lechem of the new wheat opens the summer season for the bringing of menaches for that year's produce. Asher tizra means it has to be planted. Now it also has to be something that the oimer was matir. What the oimer is matir for the hedyet, for regular people, the shtei lechem is matir for menachis and the beis hamikdash. So it turns out that this asher tizra can be applied to the oimer as well. What constitutes the new year's tzuah? Something that was sown, something that was planted before the oimer. So you see, mishas zriyah. It definitely doesn't have to be ripe. It doesn't have to come up a third. It doesn't have to be shachas, high enough for the animals to graze. It doesn't even have to appear on the face of the earth, as long as it was planted. The problem is, this rasha may be just a little bit too good. I'm a later papa, if that's the case, if all we need is asher tizra, so even if it didn't take root, we should say the oimer is matter it, as long as it was planted beforehand. Amalei, so Rava said to the papa, sudni. Sudni says Rashi's lashon of Sayyid Hashem Lireyav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals his secrets to those that fear him. So Tamid Chachamim are affectionately referred to as Sudni, the people that accept the Sayyidahs. Or suggests Rashi, another meaning for the word Sudni, the Gemayim Psachim Nafkufi Gimel Amaralov says, Tamri b'chalotzcha lebei Sudni rahot. If you have a lot of Tamarim, that special keli that holds Tamarim, run quickly and make beer out of it. Because if you're going to wait around, they'll start eating them, they will start decaying, and you're not going to have the beer. And what's so good about the Sheikhar of Tamarin? Why is it called Sudna? It's from the Lashon, says the Gemara of Sudna. It's a sweet secret, it's a good Eitzah. People become rich from it. And the Gemara goes on to explain why it's an excellent thing to give tzedakah with, and that if Papa did this as a trade, in the mail he was termed Sudni. So whatever the case may be, if Papa's suggestion to Rava was, if indeed the pasuk says Asher Tizra, maybe it doesn't even have to take root, but as long as you plant it, the yomer should be matter it. So he answered him, certainly no, that can't be the case. The pasuk doesn't just say Asher Tizra. Asher Tizra basad eksif. So basad is mashma, not just placed into the ground, but it has to be rooted into the ground. It has to at least take root before the yomer in order for the yomer to be matter it. In the next Mishnah Be'ez Hashem, we are going to see that there are certain kinds of tfuah that we may cut before the yomer, Zakta Mishnah. Kaitzin Be'ez HaShlachim Shebi'amakim. It is permitted to cut the tfuah even before the yomer in irrigated fields, those that are in the valleys. These fields that don't get their water naturally, but the human hand had to irrigate them, and they were deep into the valley, don't produce grade A produce. If we can't cut it immediately, we may never have a chance to cut it. They spoil easily. Memela Chazal were matia in earlier cutting. We also don't bring the Omer from this. And as we'll see later on, that plays a part in the Heter. Although we are permitted to cut it, Sakta Mishnah Zaita Aval Loi Gaichin. We are not permitted to stack it. Anshe Yerichai, the people of Yerichai, Kaitzin, Birtsain Chachamim, they used to cut this Tzua. The Chachamim did not mind. The Gaichin, however, they used to stack it as well, and that was Shaloi Birtsain Chachamim. Even though, however, the Chachamim didn't approve of it, the Loi Michu B'yadim, they did not stop them. Sakta Mishnah Zaita, Kaitzin L'Shachasi Machala Behemta. It is permitted to cut Tzua. If the tzua is just for animal food and they can feed it to their animals, Amar Rav Yehuda Amasai, when do we say this is mutter? Bizman shemaschel, if he started ad shalayhevi shlish, before it ripened a third. Rashi learns that Yehuda is saying that if you started cutting before it was heavy shlish, you can keep on cutting. And you can even cut the tzua after it is heavy shlish, provided that he is cutting it exclusively for the animals, because that is not a chash of a thing. The Rambam doesn't learn that way. According to the Rambam, Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that if you started cutting before it was heavy shlish, you can keep on cutting. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Amasai, when is it mutter to cut and give it to the animals? Bizman shemas chalat shalay heavy shlish. However, if the tefuah came up a shlish already, then it's too late. You can't even cut for the animals, even if he started beforehand. Whatever the case may be in the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon says, Yikser v'yachel af misha heavy shlish. Shimon does not have this guideline of a shlish. He says it doesn't make a difference how much the tefuah is ready. If all you're using it for is your animals, it is mutter. Sakta Mishnah Zaita v'kaitzin mei netiyes, it is all right to cut the grain around trees on account of the new plants of trees. Grain that grows in an orchard, in a field of trees, is not roi for the yomer. That grain is not good, because a field that is intended for trees doesn't specialize in grain. And memela, we don't bring the yomer from this kind of a field. And we will see later on in the Gemara that the Isur Ktsiva applies only to the kind of tefua that would be fitting for the Eimer. Being that grain growing around trees is not, so the kaitzin, it's all right to cut mitnainatiyas before the trees. Another pshat in this kaitzin mitnainatiyas is that you can cut it if a klayim problem arises. And a tiyas, which literally means young trees, is lav dafka, but usually they create client problems, because many times a person plants grain in his field, does not realize that there are saplings there of trees, and when the trees start growing, he says, uh-oh, I have a client problem. So he has to remove the client. He does so by cutting away the tefuah. If he is in this kind of a situation, then it is all right for him to cut the tefuah, and he need not be concerned that it's before the Eimer. In those days, the minhag was, when they would come back from the Beis HaKvaris, they would sit down on the field and eat the Sudas Havra. Everybody would sit down, and the people would make a special blessing for the Avela, starting with the words, Achenu Ham Yugayim. Therefore, the Mishnah continues, Mitnei Beis HaAvel. If they needed space on the field for the Avela to sit down on the way back from the Levaya, for them to sit down and eat the Sud and make this special bracha, it's all right to cut away so that they should have place to sit, even though they are cutting before the Eimer. For that matter, Mitnei Bittel Beis HaMedesh. In case the Rav decided to give the shiur outside one day in the fresh air, and the Talmidim needed a place to sit on the grass, it was permitted for them to cut away the grain so that the Talmidim should have where to sit. Now once again, the reason this is mutter is because Tzir Chen V'loi Tzir Mitzvah. Only personal cutting is prohibited before the Yomer. However, to cut for a Dvar Mitzvah, like the Beis HaAvel or the Beis HaMedrash, that's all right. Even though, the Mishnah continues, some restrictions do apply, even in these Tzir Mitzvahs. Lo yasayis and kriyais, after they cut it in these situations, they could not tie them up in bundles. Avol manich and svasim, they could only make piles remaining untied. Now the Mishnah goes on to something else. Mitzvah suwaim lovim in akama. The mitzvah is to cut the oimer l'shma, to bring the oimer from tefuah that had not been cut yet, that is still standing. However, that is only the mitzvah. Lo yimatzah, if everything was cut already, so he's standing here with his instrument waiting to cut, to be mekayim the mihachol chemish bakama, to cut l'shma, but he has nothing to cut. Everything was cut off. So b'les b'reiri yavi minu amarim, he can bring the oimer from things that are already in bundles. In other words, the mitzvah to cut it l'shma is not mi'akiv the carbon. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, mitzvah se lavi min halach. The mitzvah is to bring the oimer from barley that is still moist. We learn this from the Pasuk Karmel, Rach Imal. However, here too, Loi Matzev, somehow we cannot find any moist barley. Yavi Mina Yavesh, then Beles Breda we can bring even from the dried ones. And finally, the Mishnah concludes, Mitzvah Selikser Belaila, the right way to do it, the Lechatchila de Gemitzvah is to cut the tzua for the Yomer at night. However, Nikser B'Yom, if it was cut during the day, kosher. And the Daicha is a Shabbos, the cutting of the Yomer is Daicha Shabbos. Actually, in the Gemara, we're going to have a Machlaikis. If it's the cutting of the Yomer that is Daicha Shabbos, or it's the Hakrov of the Yomer that is Daicha Shabbos. Zak the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa that Binyamin, Naimed Binyamin says, Kasav Echad Eimer, one pasuk says, Exaitim es Ktsila, and you will come to Eretz Yisrael, and you will cut what has to be cut in the land, the Hadesim es Eimer, and then you will bring the Eimer. The implication of this pasuk, that first people cut their tzua, and afterwards, the Eimer is brought. So it's mashma that there's nothing wrong with cutting before the Eimer. On the contrary, it seems that that's the normal way to do it. Exaitim es Ktsila, everyone cuts, and the Avesim is a Weimer, then you bring the Weimer after everybody cut already. However, we have another Pasuk, Reishis Ktsirchen Alakayim, the first cutting goes to the Kayim. So from this Pasuk is Mashma, that the first time anyone cuts their Tzula is to cut for the Weimer. So Haketzat, we have a steer in the Pesukim. And for the Gemara, it all depends what and where. Mimakim Sha'atamevi, from those places that are fit for the Weimer, that you could bring barley over here for the Karban Weimer. In these places, you are not permitted to cut for yourself before we cut for the Eimer. However, mimakim she'iyat, and maybe from those places that you can't bring the Eimer anyhow, for whatever reason, the barley of these places are not fit for the carbon, at the kaitza here, it's all right for you to cut even before they cut for the Eimer. So being we have a contradiction of the pasuk, the Gemara is in the Yasha, that's fear by saying it depends on the kind of place. In fact, the Gemara, who says the difference is the kind of place? Maybe the difference is the kind of tefillah. Eima, why don't you say perhaps? May mean she'ata mevi from the kind of tefillah, from barley that you bring aymer i'ata kaita. You aren't permitted to cut any barley before the aymer. But may mean she'ata mevi from the kind of grain that you don't bring the aymer from ata kaita. Perhaps this you are allowed to cut. Who says the difference is the place? Maybe the difference is the kind. And for the Gemara, Hulei Masa Samar, that you can't say. You cannot say that none of the other meaning, besides for barley, are restricted to any iser as far as cutting is concerned. Mid Rabbi Yochanan, or as the Gersa of the Shita is Mid Rabbi Yonasan. Previously we had a Gzeira Shava from Chadash to Chala. And we learned, just like Chala applies to all five kinds of Dagon, the same is true for the Yisr Ktsira. Mermel, as far as the mean is concerned, as far as the type of Tzvah is concerned, we know from the Gzeira Shava that there is absolutely no difference. Elamai from the Pesukim, we see obviously sometimes you can cut and sometimes you can't, so it all depends on the place. If it's the kind of place that is fit to take tefillah there for the karbon, then you have to wait. If it's not the kind of place that you can take tefillah there for the karbon, if it's not right for the karbon anyhow, then it's all right to cut it even before the cutting for the yarn. In the Mishnah we learned, Anshe Yerichai, the people of Yerichai, Kaitzrin, they used to cut their tefillah before the Eimer, Beretzayin Chachamim, the Chachamim approved of it, there was nothing wrong with that. However, the Gaitzrin, not only did they cut, they also used to stack it before the Eimer, and that was Shaloi Beretzayin Chachamim. And the Mishnah concluded that even though it was Shaloi Beretzayin Chachamim, Chazal were not Moicha, they allowed them to do it. In fact, the Gemara, Man Shamed Lei, whose opinion is this, the Eimer who says, Michu V'loi Michu? In other words, the Gemara wants to know, we would assume that if Chazal disapproved of something, they would stop it. So where do we have this whole concept of something Chazal disapprove of, but Lamaisa they let it go? And for the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has this opinion that many times Chazal did not approve, but you have to know, sometimes you don't approve and it's kedai to be Maicha, sometimes even though you don't approve, it is kedai not to stop. How Rabbi Yehuda comes to say this, the Gemara will explain later. But Akuban, if it's Rabbi Yehuda who has this idea of disapproving but still not to be Marcha, so our mission is Rabbi Yehuda. Fact, the Gemara, but how could that be? The Sabbath Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that Ktsira de Anshe Yerechai Bertzain Chacham Havai? Does Rabbi Yehuda say that the Chacham approved of the cutting? The Atani, we learned that Rabbi Yehuda says, Shishadvar Masu Anshe Yerechai. The Anshe Yerechai did six things, and out of these six, Shaloisha Bertzain Chachamim, three Chazal were masking with them, Ushloisha Shaloi Bertzayin Chachamim. Three of those six were done contrary to the will of the Chachamim. The Elush Bertzayin Chachamim, and the following are the three that Chazal did approve of. The first thing they did was Markivin the Kolim Kol Hayom, the grafted palms all day long. This day is Erev Pesach. And there was somewhat of a controversy over if we are permitted to do malacha Erev Pesach. Well, my sit is totally in a minute. The Mishnah tells us, Mokam Shemahagu to do a malacha Erev Pesach, then the people go and are permitted to do it. If it's a Mokam Shemahagu not to do malacha Erev Pesach, they shouldn't do it. Now, Yerichai was a place where they were not supposed to do malacha Erev Pesach, but they felt that the grafting of palms was a minor malacha, not a chashuv enough malacha to violate the structure of the minute. Apparently, the Chachamim did not disagree with that. The second thing they did with the approval of the Chachamim, the Karchanis Shema, Rashi says, literally it means they wrapped up Shema, they made no hefzer between the words of the Shema. The Taisus points out there are several shitas over here, what the Karchanis Shema actually mean. Some say it means they did not make a hefzer after the word Achad, before starting Baruch Shem. Some say the Karchanis Shema means they wrapped up Shema, in the after, and they omitted Baruch Shem Bechlau, they didn't say it. Whatever the case may be, it was different than the way we recite Kriya Shema, and the Chachanim didn't necessarily disapprove of that minik. The third thing they used to do, the Kaitzrin Lifnei Yoimer, they cut their tefillah before the Yoimer, and all three things, grafting of the palms there of Pesach, being Kayach Shema and cutting before the Yoimer, Bertzayin Chachanim was all done with the approval of the Chachanim. The Elu shall lay Bertzayin Chachanim. The following are the three things they did without the approval of the Chachanim. The first thing was Gaitzrin Lifnei Yoimer, not only did they cut before the Yoimer, they also stacked up the tefillah before the Yoimer. Umatirin Ganziyos shall Hegdish shall Cholu v'shal Shikma. They permitted the branches of Charev and Shikma trees, even though the Etzim tree, the root of the tree, belonged to Hegdish. They considered the branches not to be Hegdish. Their Shita was that what grows out of a Hegdish plant is not necessarily Hegdish, and therefore it's Mutar Bahana. That was the second thing they did, Jalai Bertzayin Chachamim. The third thing was, Iparts and Tirtzais, the Ganesayin, they opened up holes. They broke away openings in their gardens of the Paradisein and in their orchards, lihachel nesho lianim, so the poor people can come in and eat what falls off the trees. They did so b'shnei b'tzayis, during days of hunger. Now, that would be just fine. The problem is, b'shabasai so b'yamin toivim. The anim came in to eat from this on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and one is not permitted to eat from a peri found under a tree Shabbos and Yom Tov if it's possible that that peri fell off on Shabbos. Rashi says, the reason is, if you allow somebody to eat the peiros that fell underneath a tree, knowing that they may have fallen off on Shabbos, he may come to pluck a peri off the tree. The Rashi says it's not so much a gzeir of shemiyal of a yitlash, it's simply muktzah, something that was not fit for use. As Shabbos entered, because it was mechubar and it falls off afterwards, it is muktzah. Divrei Meir, this is a Meir's opinion, that out of the six things that they did, the first three, grafting the palms Erev Pesach, reciting Shema without proper hefzer between the words, and Kaitzim Lifnei Yoimer were Bertzayin Chachamim, and the latter three, stacking the tefillah before the Yoimer, being matir the Geduli Hagdish, and allowing the Aniyim to come in and eat from food that they should not touch on Shabbos, this was done Shaloi Bertzayin Chachamim. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda said to the Meir, in Bertzayin Chachamim Heinais, and if the first three things were Bertzayin Chachamim, you call out the Meisen Kain. So that means that this Mishnah is giving us a green light that everybody can go ahead and do this lachatchila. In other words, you're saying there's nothing wrong with grafting bombs all day Erev Pesach, nothing wrong with reciting Shema without a hefzik, nothing wrong with cutting before the Yoimer. The Chachamim approve of this. Now clearly, says Rabbi Yehuda, these are not the lachatchila dika things to do. The right thing to do Erev Pesach is not to graft bombs all day, and the right way to recite Shema is not to do it without proper hefzik of the words. Elena, says Rabbi Yehuda, Elu v'elu shaloi b'tzayin chacham, as far as the approval of the chacham are concerned, none of these six things met with the approval of the chacham. The only thing is, v'el shloisha michu b'yadam, in regard to three of these things, the chachamim disapproved of it so much that they went out and stopped it. V'el shloisha, on the other three, they disapproved, but loi michu b'yadam, they didn't stop it. And this is how Rabbi Yehuda lists it. The list is going to be different in several ways of how Rav Meir described the actions of the Anshei Yerichai. The Elu, these are the things the Anshei Yerichai did that the Chachamim did not approve of, but, says of Yehuda, Shaloi Michu B'yadam, the Chachamim didn't stop them. Merkiv and Kalim Kaloyim, they spent their Erev Pesach instead of preparing for the Seder, grafting palms. The Karchin is Shema, they didn't recite Shema properly. The Kaitzrin Zigaitchin Lefnei Yoimer, he puts it into one category over here before we broke this up. we had seen in the first three Gedishim. The other three, according to this, were saying the Kaitrin they cut and they stacked before the Omer. In regard to these three things, we're considering Tzir and Gedisha 1. In regard to these three things, Chazal didn't approve, but they did not stop them. Now, the Elu Shemichu Biyadam, in regard to another three things they did, Chazal not only did not approve, but they went out and opposed it. We turn now to Amud Beis. Matirin Gamzir Shal Hegdish Shal Charuv Vishal Shikma. They were matir the branches of Hegdish that grew out of the Charuv and the Shikma trees. They considered this Mutar Bahana. They tainted that their fathers who were magdish to trees were only magdish the ikar of the tree, not the branches. The chiddush of these particular kinds of trees are these branches were also sometimes used as beams, so you would think that they are mamish part of the Yatsim tree. But still, they felt it was considered Geduli Hagdish, that is Mutar Bahana. This is the first on the list that the Chacham and Mamish went out and stopped them from doing this. The second one was, he parts and tears sites of the Ganesayan. They opened up holes in the gates of their gardens of the Padesayan and their orchards. Could they lihachel nesha lianim, so that the anim should be able to eat the fruit or the vegetables that follow us? They did this b'shnei b'tzayis in a hunger year, which is a very kind act. However, b'shabbos I said b'yamim tayvim, the anim went in on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and they were eating from the peiros and the tool on the ground, and it's not mutter. Either, as Rashi learns, you can't take something that may have fallen off on Shabbos, Shemiyal of Yitloy, as the Rosh learns that it's mukt. Now we're going to see a seventh thing that the Anshei Yerichai did wrong. And soon the Gemara is going to ask, but the Braisa just told us six. Al Kopan. Zok the Braisa Vaita. V'neisen Peya L'yerk. They took off Peya, which is the mitzvah of leaving over a corner of the field for the Aniyim, and they did this even for vegetables. Now we know the chiyuv of peya is only for things that are machnisai l'kiyum. Peya applies only to the kind of produce that could be put into a warehouse and it could be stored for lengthy periods of time. That applies to wheat, to barley, to kinds of grain that are stored. But you can't really store vegetables. You can't store tomatoes for any long period of time in a warehouse. It's just not going to last. Memela, there's no chiyuv of peya for that. Now the Anshei Yerichai thought they were doing with nimashir sedin. And they went and they gave peya even for yarek, which is a problem. Umichu biyadam. Because the din is that peya is part of min ha-maiser. So assuming that this is peya, they went nafesh maisers on it. But being that there is no chiyuv of peya over here, they indeed were mechuyev in maisers. So it turns out the aniyim may have been eating tavel. Why peya is part of min ha-maiser? That's the machlag of the Beshamay and the Beshil. According to the Beshamay, peya is part of min ha-maiser because it's hefker. And any hefker is part of min ha-maiser. Even though in a sense, the hefker for pay is not a real hefker, because hefker means whoever wants to take it can come and take it, it's hefker. But pay was only mutter for the aniyim, it's only for the poor people. The Beshamay say hefker li aniyim also constitutes hefker, and the male is patim in a maiser. The Beis Hillel disagree on that point. They say in order for something to be patim in a maiser because it's hefker, it has to really be hefker. Hefker means whoever wants to take it can come and take it. But if you say something is only permitted for aniyim, and should a rich person want to take it, he can't, that's not hefker. The reason pay is part of a maaser is because of a pasuk. Now, this leaves us with somewhat of a problem, because granted, according to the Beis Hillel, we would understand why they were maicha. The people of Yerichai allowed pay even for vegetables. The truth is, the pasuk is not mamayit this, from the chiyuv of maaser, so the aniyim are eating tavel. But what about the Beshamay? The Beshamay say that when you are mafkir or something, even just for poor people, it's considered hefka, and the male is not mechuyev in maisers. Now, that being the case, the fact is they were mafkir their vegetables for the poor people. So, in a charami, there is no mitzvah of pay over here. But you can't argue the mitzias. The fact is they were mafkir their payers, and they said any poor person that wants to come and take it can take it. According to the Beshamay, that constitutes hefka. So the male is takapatim in a maiser because it's hefka. So what is the problem? Why did the Chacham have to be meicha this? So Taisus explains that even according to the Beis Shammai, the answer, these vegetables are mechuyev in maisers, and by not taking maiser it's tavel, because the hefker is a hefker betas. Being that the reason they said the Aniyim can take it is because they were under the assumption that they had to leave the corner of a tomato field or a cucumber field for the Aniyim as paya, that's why they were mafker it. And the truth is that you don't have to, because there is no paying for vegetables, so the whole thing was a mistake. Had they known, they wouldn't have left it. the name is not a real hefka, it's a hefka betas. The truth is, it is a chayiv and ma'aser. And by Yevianian eating it without ma'aser was taken, even according to the Beis Shammai, they're eating terrible, and that's why the Chachamim had to straighten this out. But Akupat, getting back to the Gemara's Kasha, in our Mishnah we learned, Anshe Yevichai Kaitzrin Birtsoin Chachamim, and the Gaitchen Shaloi Birtsoin Chachamim, but Veloi Michu Biyada. Although it was Shaloi Birtsoin Chachamim, Chazal didn't stop them. There is such a concept where something does not meet the approval of the Chachamim, but the Chachamim say, we'll let it go. Now, who is this Tana that allows such a Metziah, such a circumstance, the Chachamim letting something go, although they disapprove of it? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Meir over here had no such Madrega of a Shaloi Birtsoin Chachamim Veloi Michu. Either it was Birtsoin Chachamim or Shaloi Birtsoin Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, no, it is all Shaloi Birtsoin Chachamim. The difference is if Michu Biyadam or if it was Loi Michu Biyadam. So if it's Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah who says Veloi Michu Biyadam, because he is the only one that has such a concept of a Shaloi Birtsoin Chachamim Veloi Michu Biyadam. And the Mishnah says they were kites in Birtsoin Chachanim. Here you have Rabbi Yehuda listing the cutting of the Yomer as one of the things that were not done Birtsoin Chachanim. So on the one hand, the Mishnah has to be Rabbi Yehuda from the Lashon of Shaloi Birtsoin Chachamim Veloi Michu Biyadam. And on the other hand, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda because the Mishnah says they were kites in Birtsoin Chachamim, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Anshei Yerichai's cutting was not Birtsoin Chachamim. Frek de Gemara Tamach, even according to your view, there still is a problem over here. Forget the steel of our Mishnah. But look at the Beraisa itself. The Beraisa starts off by saying, Shisha, there were six things that the Anshei Yerichai did. Three, the Chachamim stopped. Three, the Chachamim didn't stop. But the truth is, count of the items mentioned over here that the Anshei Yerichai did, and you will see Shiva Havel. There are seven things listed here, not six. They grafted the palms there of Pesach. They were Kayach HaShema. They cut the Yomer and stacked the Yomer. That's four already. They were mad to the branches of the carob trees and the shikma trees, that's five. They opened up the holes for the Aniyim to take the payers from the ground. That's six, and there's a seventh thing. The nice and pale Yerik. So the Baraisa doesn't have a pshat. You tell me there are six things that they did, three approved and three not approved, and then you give me a list of seven. So obviously something is wrong. There is an extra thing over here that doesn't belong. Mimela says the Gemara Elinar, Sami Mikang Sira. So let's very conveniently take out the one that we have a problem with. Let's take out the Kaitrin, and that was Shaloi Birtsoin Chachamim. Because indeed, as we see from our Mishnah, Sira would be Birtsoin Chachamim. And Mimela, when the Baraisa gives us a list of things that were all Shaloi Birtsoin Chachamim, it's just that some were Michu and some were Loi Michu, Sira doesn't belong there. So we answer both kashas by taking out Sira from the list. Number one, we're back down to six instead of seven. And furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda would not contradict himself in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Tzira is listed as something which was Birtsoin Chachamim. Indeed, it was. Zakti Gemara Raita, in the Mishnah we learned, Kaitzer L'Shachas Imachal L'Behemah. It is all right to cut the Tevuah, provided that it's not fully grown yet. It's still Shachas, with the purpose of feeding it to the animals. The din is that for every field we have to leave over the corner of the field for the poor people. If for whatever reason, as we will soon see, a field is divided into two, so it's considered two fields. And in Mela, he has to leave Peya twice, the corner of each field. The name of the Mishnah in Peya goes into a series of circumstances for us to learn what constitutes a division of a field, making it two fields, and what is not enough of a division so that both fields are still considered one field and only one Peya is necessary. Tanan. The Elum of Sikin Lepeya, the following are considered a hefsik for Peya. If you have the following running through your field, then you don't have one field, you have two fields, and you don't have one mitzvah Peya, you have two mitzvahs of Peya. The first on the list, Hanachal. Somebody has a river running through his field. This breaks the field into two. The next item on the list, the Hashlulis. Rashi says over here, Hashlulis is a place where rainwater gathers, and he has plants on either side. This would cut a field into two. The Batanur in Pei explains that Shlulis is a kind of a man-made canal, a central canal, which runs through his field, and other pipelines come into this. It's sort of a main kind of an irrigation process. It's a main line, and the main cuts the field into two. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, the Derech HaYachid, a private road wide 4 amos, v'derech HaRabim, and a public road wide 16 amos, cut a field into two. Now the obvious shaila, if a road wide 4 cuts it into two, surely would a public road that is wide 16? So the Mefarshim in Mishnah explained that the Chiddush will be in the Sefer. There we learn in regard to different things that these very same items don't constitute a hafzik, and there will be a Chiddush that not only a Derech HaYachid, but even a Derech HaRabim is not a hafzik. So we have the same Lashon of the Reish as well, even though over here in the Hanami it's not a Chiddush. But those are roads. In addition to roads, you can have a path that cuts a field into two. A Shvil HaRabim, a public path, and for that matter, a Shvil HaYachid, a private path. HaKavua b'yamaisacham u'b'yamaisakshamim, that is around and is used both during the summer and winter, constitutes a hafzik. Now the path we're referring to over here is actually very narrow. So narrow, according to some, you have to walk 1 foot at a time. You have to put 1 foot down and then put the next foot down in front of it. There's no place even for the 2 feet of one person to stand side by side. However, many times these paths, as narrow as they were commonly used. The name of the guideline is, if they're established all year long for 4 seasons, any time of the year, winter, summer, fall, or spring, when a person wants to get from one side of the field to the other, he knows that we go through these paths. So they constitute a hafzik. If they're not there all year, being that they're so narrow, then it's not a hafzik. The reason it says over here both Shvil HaYachid and Shvil HaRabim Mulecha Oire, if a Shvil HaYachid is a hafzik, a Shvil HaRabim would vada be a hafzik. The Teretz is explained in the Mefarshim, there's a Chiddush here on both sides of the coin. If it's the kind of path that is established for all year, even though it's only a Derech Yachid, or rather Shvil Yachid, it is considered a hafzik. On the other hand, if it's the kind of path that does not go all year long, even though when it is in use, it's a Shvil HaRabim, everybody uses it, it's not a hafzik. Being that it's so narrow, it's not a hafzik unless it's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. Basically, it's a psychological kind of a thing. If we know it's always there, so we always look to it as a path, and in Mela we look to the different sides of the fields as different kinds of fields. Right is up to Mishnah the Habor, if we have an area with absolutely no crop on it, and the produce is on either side, that cuts a field into two, the Hanir. If he plows out an area in the middle of a field, that divides the field into two, the Zer'acha. If somebody has a wheat field, and he has a row of lentils cutting through the middle, that row divides the wheat field into two wheat fields. And finally, says the Mishnah, this of course what we are searching for over here, the Kaitzu L'Shachas Mask. Somebody goes, and he cuts the Tfuah in the middle of his field, while it is still at the stage of Shachas, which means it is not yet ripened even a third. Mafsik, this is mafsik the field into half. And as far as the other sides of the field are concerned, on either side, when Lemaisa, those crops are finished, they are looked upon as two separate fields. Divrei Reb Meir. The Chachamim and the Chachamim say a mafsik. Just because he decided to cut off a strip in the middle before it was ready, that shouldn't divide the field into two. It would not be a hefsik elim ken harsh. If he would mamish go and plow through the middle of the field, that cuts the field into two. So, Rabbanim, what do we see over here? The Meir is of the opinion that if somebody cuts the grass at the stage of Shachas, when the grass is at that stage, it is not the normal thing to do. That's not called cutting. Memela, what he did was he uprooted the middle part of his field. And Memela, according to the Meir, it's equivalent to plowing through the middle of a field. By doing this, he divides his field into two. Both sides are considered separate fields because the middle part has no pshat. On the other hand, the Chachamim who say Kaitz L'Shachas is not a hafzik, apparently they are of the opinion that this is a normal thing to do, to cut L'Shachas. And the Mela doesn't divide the field. Let us suppose somebody has a big wheat field, and he starts cutting the wheat with a strip through the middle. That doesn't divide the field into two. He's just cutting the field. He's not separating the field. So the Chachamim say this is a normal cutting. The Mela, it's not a hafzik. And again, the Meir says it's not a normal cutting. The Mela, it is a hafzik. Now what does all this have to do with us? Let's turn back to the Mishnah for a moment. About 4 lines into the Mishnah we learned, Kaitzu L'Shachas, somebody cuts at this stage, while the grass is still Shachas. You can do so even before the Yoyma, Umachal Behema, and give it to the animal to eat. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says that this is Dafka, a Messiah can only cut it if he begins to reap it before it had reached a third of its growth. Actually, Hevi Shlish, once it reached Shlish, he can't cut it anymore. And Rabbi Shittin says there's no problem. If it's Shachas, if it's not regular tfuah yet, he can cut it and there's no problem. Again, turning back, what do we have over here in regard to payah? The mayor says if somebody cuts the middle of his field while it's at the stage of Shachas, this is not the normal thing to do. It's not Tzira, and the mayor, it's a Hefsik. Doesn't make any sense. He just divided his field into two because there's something there in the middle that has no Pshat. We can make an analogy over here. It appears that Meir b'shitas the Pshimin Amr. Rav Meir says by Peya that Kaitz l'Shachas is a Hefsik, and Rav Shimon over here in our Mishnah are the same Shita. The Yama, because here Rav Shimon says, Yikse v'yachol, it's all right to go ahead and cut it, af misha havia shlish, it doesn't make a difference how ripe the tefillah is. Alma, so you see, Rav Shimon in our Mishnah says, Ksava, he is of the opinion, Kol l'Shachas lav ktsiri, I don't have to go look if it's ripe a third, if it's not developed a third. If he's cutting the grass while it is still not considered grain yet, but it's still considered grass, it's still considered shachas, that is not a normal cutting. That is no pshat as far as ktsira is concerned. He may have other motives for cutting it, but it's not the ktsira, and the male Reb Shimon says in our Mishnah he can cut it before the Yomer. So for the same reason that Reb Shimon says it's all right to cut this before the Yomer, because this is not a normal ktsira, by that same token, the mayor says this cuts a field in half, because it's not the normal thing to do. Yosef Rabba v'kamala l'hai shmaitza, Rabba was sitting, he was reciting this analogy, that it appears that Meir and Pei and Reb Shimon and Maramishna both say the same thing. Ktsira of Shachas is not a ktsira. And Eisev et Avachav bar Huna l'Rabba, so Avachav bar Huna asked the Shalot to Rabba. That analogy is not a good one. Because we learn in the Braise as follows. Ach l'chagav, suppose somebody has a strip of his field that grasshoppers came and ate away. Or the karsamu and the malam, or ants ate away a strip. Now the different lashon between achla and karsamu is that ants tend to eat out the roots from underneath, while grasshoppers eat from the top. That's where there's a different lashon. But akopanim, whatever the case may be, there's a strip missing in the field. Or zakta mishnah, shavasu haruach, no grasshoppers or ants, but the wind came and broke down the middle part of the field. How come Oidim, in this case, that would not make the two fields on either side separate fields? It's all one field with a problem in the middle, but it's still one field. Choresh mafsik, unless he mamish plows through the middle, only then would it be a hafsik, but loy choresh, if he did not plow through the middle, all we have is this one strip that the grasshoppers, ants, or the wind devoured, ain't no mafsik, this is not a hafsik. Now, what is this Lashon Hakol Moedim? Everybody agrees to this. Hakol Moedim Mai. Who is the everybody that agrees to this? Obviously, Reb Meir. Even Reb Meir who says that if somebody cuts a strip of shachs in the middle of his field, it is a hefsik. Here he would be Moedim that unless you plow it, mamish uprooting a strip down the middle, then the fact that the grasshoppers devoured a strip, that is not a hefsik. Now, let's stop a moment to think. If it's odd, if it's not the normal thing to do, then it's a hefsik. If it's the normal way to cut, then it's not a hefsik. Let's look at these two instances, where he cuts l'shachas, he cuts it prematurely, or where grasshoppers eat. What is more daima to a regular cutting? Obviously, where he cuts it himself. Now, if the mayor says in the case of where he cuts it himself, that being that he's cutting it prematurely, it's not a regular cutting, and the nail it's a hefsik, so what we would imagine that where grasshoppers do the cutting for him, this surely has no shachas to a normal tzir, and this vada should be a hefsik. So why does the Braisa say in this case that Hakol Moedim, even the mayor, that if the ants and the grasshoppers do the job for him, it's not a hefsik, unless he mamish plows it through? If anything, it should be just the opposite. We would understand perfectly well if the Mishnah would say, the mayor tells us grasshoppers eating out of the middle of a field is a hefsik, but if he himself cuts it prematurely, even though that's odd, that's not a hefsik. And the mayor would be moited to that. That makes sense. But the way we have it now, we have no pshat. If cutting prematurely is so different, according to the mayor, that it's a hefsik, grasshoppers doing the cutting surely should be a hefsik. Elamai, there could be only one possible solution over here. In the case of the Mishnah, where he is cutting himself, we are talking about the kind of grass that he is cutting even before it is a third way up. At that point, it makes absolutely no sense to cut it. The person labored all season long to have crop, to have wheat, now he goes and cuts it off while it's still grass, and he has nothing out of it. That is extremely odd and not normal, and the nail it's a hefsek. And on the other hand, if the Braisa would be talking about normal tefillah that was heavy shlish, that is ready, and then some of it was devoured, so it would make sense to say that in this case you can't consider it a hefsik, because the fact is one way or another this tefillah would be cut off. So that's a viable solution, there's only one problem. So much for our analogy that the Reb Shimon in our Mishnah who says it makes absolutely no difference if it's before Hevishlish or after Hevishlish, you can cut it before the Omer and Reb Meir. According to this, the two shittos have nothing to do with each other. Reb Meir just says cutting with Shachas is dafka before a Shlish. And Reb Shimon says even after the Shlish it's not normal, that's why he's matter the Tzir before the Omer. That is the Kasha, and now let's see the Gemara inside. We start from the words E-Amrit. So once again, we have just learned in the Mishnah in Pei that the Rameyu says, somebody goes and he cuts his grass, a strip of grass, while the Tfuah is still at the stage of Shachas. That is so odd, it's not a normal Tzira, and Mimela, it's a Hefzik, he has to give payah for both sides of the field. And on the other hand, we learned in the Braisa that if grasshoppers, ants, or the wind devours a whole strip of his field, the mayor would himself say that unless he mamish goes and plows through and uproots a strip, it's not a hefzik. The grasshoppers themselves are not a hefzik. L'chaya, this is a contradiction. If cutting prematurely is odd enough to say it's a hefzik, grasshoppers cutting should surely be a hefzik. So, e-amit, if you're going to say bishlein and masnitin, the Mishnah is talking about a case, bishaloy yavishlish, where the crop is so raw that it isn't even a third way up. Now, this is 100% odd. Nobody cuts their grain when it's still mamish grass, when it just starts to grow. What did he work for? He worked so hard to wait for his tefuah to grow. The Melech Meir says, you can't consider this cutting. It's uprooting. It's not cutting. It's a hefzik. Price. On the other hand, the price. So where we say the charesh dafka, if he plows in, then it's a hefzik. But loy charesh loy, if he doesn't plow, it's not a hefzik. That's talking about kishahevishlish, where Seifko says the tefuah was at the stage where it's supposed to be cut. Or at least it's close to that stage. It came up a third yet. So then at least the mayor would make sense. It wouldn't be a stira. Eli Yamid, but if you're going to say, Masnit Nami, that the Mishnah is also talking about a case, the Shehevi Shlish, where the Shachas came up a third, so both the Berais and the Mishnah are talking about similar cases, Hashti Imahas, Madach over there in the case of the Mishnah, the Tzira the Adam, where a human being is cutting it. Amr Mayor, the mayor says, Loish make Tzira, because it's not the thing to do. So hach over here, where grasshoppers eat, like kolshkin, that shouldn't be ksira. So b'yachach, you have to say the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about different cases. And you have to say the Mishnah is talking about a case where it's loy hevishlish, and the Braisa is talking about a case where it's hevishlish. And as a result of this, we have lost our analogy between the shitas of Reb Meir and Reb Shimon, and our Mishnah who says you can always cut shachas before the Omer, even if it was hevishlish. Because when does Reb Meir say that the cutting is not considered a cutting of shachas if it's dafka before it was developed a third? And Reb Shimon says, the Fetish of the Mishnah, it's always all right to cut before the Omer, regardless if it was developed the third or not. So you see, even after it's developed the third, Reb Shimon still says that this doesn't constitute a Ktsira, and the Meir, Reb Meir and Reb Shimon clearly not have the same Shita as Reb Yochanan suggested in regard to Kaitzer L'Shachas. So if Reb Meir is not working with Reb Shimon's opinion, then whose opinion is Reb Meir working with, at least as far as our Mishnah is concerned? Once again, let's turn back to our Mishnah. 5 lines into the Mishnah, we first have an anonymous statement. Kaitzer l'shachas imachal l'behemet. It is all right to cut the tzur at the stage of shachas, even though it is before the omer, and to feed it to the behemet. Now along comes Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, Amosai, when is that all right? Dafka, if it was not heavy shlish yet? And the Reb Shimon says it doesn't make a difference. So let's understand as follows. Clearly, the Tanakhama just allows the cutting of shachas before the omer to give it to the behemet. However, to cut it l'shachas for a human being to eat it, that is off. Now, what's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion on that? Rabbi Yehuda says the lashon over here, Amosai, when do we say that? Bizman shemaschol actually hevi shlish. We have a cloud. The Gemara tells us in the Masechta Sanhedrin. Whenever Rabbi Yehuda uses this lashon of Amosai, when do you say that? Rabbi Yehuda does not dispute in any way or form the previous shita. Rabbi Yehuda is clearly coming to explain it. So, if the Tanakhama just allows cutting of shachas before the Omer for achilas behema, the Yehuda over here is just clarifying that shita, that for a behema it is allowed only if it was loy hevishlish. However, after it was hevishlish, it's also even for a behema. So it turns out that as far as the Yehuda is concerned, to cut for human consumption is also even before it's hevishlish. Now, Reb Meir in Peyer really made no distinction whatsoever if he is cutting l'behema or if he is cutting l'adam. Even if he cuts l'adam, then the halacha is, it's not a normal kind of cutting, and the mele, that strip that he cut through, divides his field in half. You can't consider that regular ktsira. So says Reb Meir. Now, let's see the Gemara inside, from the word El. We clearly pointed out that Rameo and Rav Shimon are not the same Shita, because Rav Shimon makes no difference between before a Shlish and after a Shlish, and Rameo must make a difference, or else we would have a Steer in that. Bryce. Elinor, so if Rameo only says that Kaitzel Shachas is not the normal thing to do when he cuts it before it's Hevi Shlish, assumably, Shita Zabi Huda Amra, that's Zabi Huda Shita, who as well makes a distinction between before Hevi Shlish or after Hevi Shlish. Di Amra, because Zabi Huda says in our Mishnah, A Messiah, when do we say that it's alright to cut Lashachs and to give it to the behemoth before the Oimer? Bizman Shehizchel, if he started cutting, actually Yehavishlish. Avalim Hizchel, Achehavishlish, also that it's off. So fine. On the surface, it seems just right that Yehuda makes a difference between before a Shlish and after a Shlish, and so does the mayor. However, the truth is, Ein Edeshamet Leil Rabbi Yehuda, when does Rabbi Yehuda say it's alright to cut before the Eimer? In other words, the Ktsira, while it's at the stage of Shachas, is not a Ktsira Lebehem, daft if he cuts Lebehema. But Li'ada Mishamet Leil, Rabbi Yehuda never says that cutting for a human being is not the normal thing to do. There are certain parts of the growths, even while it's at the stage of Shachas, that are edible. Dishes can be made for a human being. Now, if he does it for that reason, it makes sense. That's not odd. And the Mela, if he does cut Liyadam, he can't cut before the Yomer. So now what do we do? Maybe when Rabbi Yehuda makes his distinction between before Shlish and after Shlish, it makes no difference if he's cutting Lebehem or Liyadam. Maybe indeed Rabbi Yehuda says if he cut it before it was Hevi Shlish, it's Mutar even Liyadam. You can't say that. Because as explained, the Tanakhama clearly says you can only do it l'machal behema. And if Rabbi Yehuda says you can do it liyadam also, the inkein havalu tlasa tanai. That turns out there are really three opinions in our Mishnah. There is the opinion of the Tanakhama that you can only cut it for a behema. There is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that you can even cut it for an adam, if it's before Hevi Shlish. And then the opinion of the Shimon that it doesn't make a difference if it's before a Shlish or after a Shlish. Now, we have a cloud whenever Rabbi Yehuda uses the Lashon of Amosai, he's being mafarish the previous Tana. He's not giving a separate opinion. So we know there are only two opinions in the Mishnah. And whatever the Tanakhama says, Rabbi Yehuda says as well. And if the Tanakhama says you can only cut Lebehema, Rabbi Yehuda says you can only cut Lebehema. And being that the Rameya considers even cutting Liadam, a Ktsira which is not a normal Ktsira, so Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda can't go together. Incidentally, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, wherever Rabbi Yehuda starts off something by saying, a Messiah, and when he is being mafarish, the previous Shita, where he says, Bameh, then he's being chaylik. But Akubanim, a Messiah is a pirish. So if it's a pirish, that means Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Tanakhama. So now we're looking for a Tana that holds like a mayor. On two points. On point number one, that the Ktsira L'Shachas is not a normal Ktsira if it's done bedavka before it's Hevi Shlish. And number two, if it is done before it's Hevi Shlish, it's not a normal Ktsira, even if he cut it Liyada. Elan Azak Tegemar Kiyasi Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. Amar, he said, Rav Meir, Beshitas Rebekiva Rabba Yamra. Rav Meir bases his opinion on the principle that his very own Rebbe, Rebekiva, laid down. Diyama, because Rebekiva says that Af Liyada Nami Loi Havi Ktsira. I will show you, Rebekiva holds, that if you cut Tfuah at the stage of Shachas, before it is Hevi Shlish, even for human consumption, it doesn't constitute a ktsira. Where does the Bekiva say this? The Tanan we learned in the Mishnah. Hamanam is a day of a shayah by klachim lachim. Somebody cuts his field, instead of cutting it in an orderly fashion, he just cuts it spotted. He cuts his field in separate stages, and he leaves klachim rachim, unripe stems. What is the significance of the unripe stems? If the tfuah was mamish ready, all of the tfuah was finished, so it doesn't make a difference how he cuts it. If he cuts it in squares, if he cuts it around the different places, if he spots his field, it's all cutting, it's all one field. But if it wasn't ready yet, and nobody cuts at this point, and he goes and he starts cutting around different boxes in his field, so we don't consider this cutting, we consider this restructuring his field. Or at least Rebbe Kiva does. Rebbe Kiva Aymer, Peyo L'Cholechad V'Yachad, he cut a bunch of little boxes around, each is a field for itself, and he has to give pay, he has to leave the corner of each of these fields. The Chachanim say, even though he cut before the time is to cut, but Miyachad Alakar, he only has to leave one corner for all of his little fields that he made for himself here. It's all considered one field. Now, how do we show that the Kiva holds that even if you cut for human consumption, it is still not considered a normal Tzira? Because the Yamar of Yehuda Mashmur, of Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that Lo Yichayiv Rav Akiva Ela B'Menamer L'Klai. So Rav Akiva only said that he is chayiv when he cuts the Shachas Shelo Yehevi Shlish for the purpose of toasting it for human beings. We only toast things for human beings. Animals will eat it even if it's not toasted. So if you cut Tua Shelo Yehevi Shlish for the purpose of toasting it, even though you're cutting it for human beings, I would think it should be a chashev ktsira. Despite that, this isn't called cutting, this is called restructuring his field, and he is chayiv on every single payah for itself. Avo, b'menamo, yaitzer, if it's all ripe already, and he goes around cutting sporadically, making all kinds of strips and sizes, all different fields are being developed over here. Right, we don't say each is considered a separate field. Because the only thing this person has proven by not cutting in an organized way is that he is not an organized person. But the fact is the tzua is ready and he's cutting it. By cutting it with different kinds of stripes and different kinds of spots, he is not making new fields as he's going along. Now, Kulpanim, we have proven what we are looking for. That the Kiva says, if you have tzua that was loy heavy shlish, even if you cut it for the purpose of human use, it is not considered a tzira, and this is what Rav Meir says. Rav Meir makes a chilek between before Hevi Shlish and afterwards. In the Mishnah, he says if it's before Hevi Shlish, it's not a ktsira. In the Braisa with the grasshoppers, he says if it's after Hevi Shlish, then it doesn't become a separate field. Rav Meir also says it makes no difference between human use and animal use. And this is what the Bekita tells us over here. Zakh Gemara Eini, but it's not like that. I will show you that the Kiva says that if you cut the field in a spotted way, in an unorganized way, developing little fields as you're going along because you're not cutting in order, even after it's Avi Shlish, even after it's ripe, the Kiva says each one becomes a field for itself. He said, the Kiva said that he is chayiv af b'menameli oitzer, even if he spots his field, he cuts it sporadically after it's ripe, when it's ready for the warehouse. So far, we have proven this raya doesn't fall off. The Rebbe Akiva holds, even if you cut it to toast it, even for human consumption, it's not a normal ktsira. But Akopanim, you see here, the Rebbe Akiva holds it's not a normal ktsira, cutting sporadically, even after it's ripe. And the mayor says, once it's heavy shlish, then it is a normal ktsira, because he says even when grasshoppers eat from it after it's heavy shlish, the ktsira is a normal ktsira. That's not called a restructuring of the field. And for the Gemara, and Achanani. In a way, Rav Meir agrees with Rabbi Akiva. He agrees with Rabbi Akiva that even if you cut for human consumption, that doesn't automatically make it a normal ktsira. But he disputes Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva says even after it is heavy shlish, it is still not normal if you don't cut in an organized way. And Rav Meir says once it's heavy shlish, any kind of cutting of the field is considered normal cutting. It doesn't make new fields, even if ants or grasshoppers would cut it. Now the truth is, as Tysus, he could have done the same thing with Reb Shimon. We could have said that the mayor agrees with Reb Shimon, that it doesn't make a difference if you cut it for animal use or for human use. In both cases, it's not a cutting. That's what Reb Shimon says, you can cut before the Yomer. Now he disagrees with Reb Shimon because the mayor says, Davka before it's Avi Shlish, and Reb Shimon says even afterwards. You can do the same Savalei Kavasa Bechadi, Palkala Bechadi. But if I'm going to do this, as Tysus, we would rather do it with Reb Akiva because Reb Akiva was the mayor's ready.